Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dissolved the six-member war cabinet following the resignation earlier this month of centrist leader Benny Gantz. A government spokesperson said this afternoon that its duties will be taken over by the Security Cabinet, a pre-existing body on matters regarding the war between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Ehud Olmert is the former Prime Minister of Israel, and he joins me now. Mr. Olmert, you're very welcome to the programme.
Yeah, hi.
What will this mean, the dissolution of the war cabinet, in your opinion, for Benjamin Netanyahu's leadership?
Nothing of great significance. As you say correctly, what was known as the war cabinet was an artificial creation by the Prime Minister. When the two former chief of staff of the Israeli army joined the cabinet so that they will be separated from the rest of his partners. And now the extreme right-wing factions, now that they left the cabinet and they are not any more partners of the coalition, there is no need for this artificial creation. So it returned back into the original whatever security cabinet that they have.
The security body. Benny Gantz says he's resigned because the strategy on the war is not clear enough. And I just wonder, who is calling the shots in terms of the war and its strategy? Is it effectively Benjamin Netanyahu solely?
Well, the common wisdom was that the two former chief of staff that joined the cabinet will be a very significant part of creating the strategy of the fighting. Now, as you correctly quoted General Gantz, they didn't feel that they are partners to this. So it's a one-man show in a way, and they didn't feel any need to continue to be members of this. So it's more or less Netanyahu alone, and against him, in a way. There is a public opinion in Israel, the opinion of most of the former security experts, former senior generals of the Israeli army, and the Americans.
Mm-hmm. Your language, Mr. Olmert, is extremely insightful, I must say, because when you say it's a one-man show and you point to Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm piecing that with another interview you did, I think, recently on Sky News, where you said that Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't want a ceasefire. And then I pieced that with the US President Biden saying that he's Benjamin Netanyahu may be prolonging the war for his own political reasons. Could all of that be correct?
All this fits into one opinion. Mm-hmm. What you say, what you quoted for me, and what you quoted from President Biden is absolutely the same. I think that Netanyahu doesn't want to stop the war or to arrive at a ceasefire. I think President Biden thinks the same. And believe me, we didn't coordinate our opinions.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
On the basis of his own judgment, and I made it on the basis of my own judgment.
If it's then obvious to political actors within and without Israel that the Prime Minister may be prolonging the war for his own political reasons, and that his efforts don't seem to be bringing back all the hostages quickly, and that innocent Palestinians are suffering or dying unnecessarily, are his political opponents in Israel acquiescing in prolonging the war or not strong enough to put a stop to it?
Well, apparently, for the time being, they are not strong enough because the government still exists and it doesn't fall apart. But I'll tell you, you know, we have many different stories that happened in history, that at the end, one last stroke breaks the whole structure. So something will happen. I mean, the accumulation of circumstances, the growing number of Israeli casualties in Gaza, fighting for something that no one knows exactly what it is, continued absence of the hostages and the lack of any effort, serious, genuine effort, to bring them back. The growing discontent of the international community and the criticism of the American government and many other Israeli friends across the world, in Europe, in other places, all this comes to the point where there need to be just one stroke. There will be very light, but it will break up the entire structure, and I think we are very close to it. Mm-hmm. What it will be, I can't tell you right now, but it will happen.
And from afar, I just wonder why it hasn't happened already. Because you quite rightly point to the hostage situation and those poor families who have seen hostages who were taken dead, some still waiting for the hostages to return safely. You also have Israel as a state being isolated on the world stage because of the military action. And you have the colossal loss of innocent life in the Gaza Strip. I just wonder why the opposition, the political opposition in Israel, hasn't expedited the process.
Because, as you see, up until a couple of days ago, the opposition was divided. Part of the opposition was part of the cabinet. I mean, these two generals, and there was enormous trust and expectation in the Israeli public opinion. If General Gantz and General Eisenkot are still members of the cabinet, then maybe there is some hope for something positive, and there is no hesitation, and particularly at a time when the army is fighting and the government is in the middle, the country in the middle of a war, and the north is attacked all the time by Hezbollah. So there is a certain hesitation to make the decisive step. Now that the two left the cabinet on the one hand, and I think, assuming that there will be a growing pressure from outside, particularly from America, I think it can bring it down. And also, it's true, you know, I hate to say it because it's sad, but it seems to many in Israel, and I reflect an attitude which prevails amongst a lot of people in Israel, that the opposition doesn't have the kind of strength, determination, aggression, political aggression, that is essential to make a change. And maybe now, given all these circumstances, it will boil down to the point where it will break down the government of Netanyahu.
Well, on the other side, I suppose, Netanyahu is fighting for his political life, and the pressure on him to bring hostages home, the human political cost of the war as well, the warrant for his arrest, pursued at the ICC, the case of genocide against Israel, against the ICJ, the corruption charges against him personally as well. He is fighting personally a vicious battle, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a tough battle. Most of it, largely, is his own fault. His inability to assume responsibility for what happened in the first place. His inappropriate and manipulative and conspirational attitude towards his own partners. As a result of his weakness, all this causes this distrust, which is absolutely incredible. When you look at it, you know, in all the polls that were conducted in Israel since October and even before, more than 65% of the population do not trust the prime minister of the state of Israel during a war. This is unique, exceptional, unheard of. Mm-hmm. Never happened in the history of the state of Israel before. And that is pushing, you know, against the other elements that I have outlined before, which helped keep him alive politically, I think it's now boiling down to the point where it will break down.
Well, it's fascinating to talk to you about the really volatile political atmosphere and situation in Israel. Former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, thank you very much indeed for joining us.